Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this episode, we've got Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism back on the show. And it is that time of year to be talking spring Rainy River Run. Now, as we're talking on this podcast, there are no boats on the Rainy River right now, but it's going to be kicking off pretty soon. So we want to talk about that. But Joe does a great job of kind of highlighting the size and scope of the opportunities happening up there right now in that neck of the woods, including the late ice northern pike on the main lake. I mean, that is popping off right now as we speak, and there's enough ice. There's still plenty of opportunity. You could give a resort a call today and be headed up there and have your hands on giant northern pike. That pattern happens every year. And then also, we give a lot of love to the sturgeon fishing opportunity. You know, again, when this the walleye thing starts going on, everybody gets pretty focused on that. I'm guilty too, but man, the good old days of sturgeon fishing are happening right now, and Joe talks all about it in this interview, why we should be paying attention to that right now. Just a really cool story in terms of conservation, but also, man, like, where else are you going to have an opportunity to catch fish of that size and scale with that kind of a fight? They're just a cool looking fish. Even the not giant ones are big and cool compared to anything else that we fish for in the Midwest. Again, just another cool, really cool opportunity that deserves some attention. So there you go. We're talking about all the different opportunities to be looking forward to or to be capitalizing on right now up around Lake of the Woods with Joe Henry. Let's get to it.
TKI CNC produces reliable, meticulously crafted marine components for every fishing adventure. If you're going to be doing any boat rigging whatsoever this season, check out a complete listing of products at TKICNC.com. There you'll find lots of things, including the multi-purpose rod holders and their forward sonar pole mounting kits. These product designs specifically maximize your efficiency and reliability in the boat. This is why so many hardcore anglers, including tournament anglers, are turning to TKI to accessorize their boats. For a detailed look or in-depth tutorials, check them out on YouTube, Facebook, or Instagram at TKICNC. If you have any fishing memory or fish that you would like to commemorate with a replica, or you have questions about getting fish replicas done, reach out to Jamie Rizavi from Rizavi Taxidermy Studio in New Rockford, North Dakota. Jamie and his crew do next level work here at the JMO headquarters. We are blessed to have so many replicas made by Jamie. Reach out. You can find him on social media or online at RizaviTaxidermyStudio.com. The link is in the description of this podcast. The Onyx Fish app is an excellent tool for finding your next fishing spot. Download the app today to get free lake information in the states of Minnesota and Wisconsin. I'm talking about research tools that we talk about on the JMO podcast all the time with all the top pros here in the Midwest. I'm talking about satellite imagery, fisheries data, lake surveys, contour maps. That and so much more can be found in one place here now with the Onyx Fish app, a phenomenal tool both on and off the water for discovering new great fishing opportunities, many of which you would have never known existed. Link is in the description of this podcast. Zooloft Construction from Fargo, North Dakota is your trusted partner when it comes to protecting and enhancing your property, servicing the surrounding area with over 40 years of combined experience. They've built a reputation for delivering exceptional roofing, siding, gutter, and window solutions. With a team of skilled professionals using quality brands and products, that's how they ensure lasting results. To sum it up, Zooloft Construction is committed to exceeding customer expectations. If you want an appointment for a free estimate, check out Zooloft Construction at their website, zooloftconstruction.com, or call them at 701-630-0197. All those contacts are in the description of this podcast. What is the status update? We should take a couple minutes here and just talk about, and again, you know, probably important to say we're having this conversation second into the third week of March. So for timing wise, but take a couple minutes here and get a little bit of a winter highlight recap. What's going on right now, man? What is the status update on Lake of the Woods, Joe?
Yeah, Taylor, you know, it's been a good year, and you know, the entire ice fishing industry needed, you know, a good year this year. And thankfully we got it. You know, it starts out with good ice, and you know, we had cold temps. We didn't have a ton of snow, so that didn't mess the ice up as it's forming. And so I'll speak specifically for Lake of the Woods. You know, we had great ice this year. We had in many areas up to 40 inches of ice. In fact, just talked to some people that are driving some, I think some semis up at the Northwest Angle just not too long ago and hauling some riprap and stuff. But, you know, been a good ice fishing year. The fish have cooperated. We had a good population of walleyes and saugers. The one surprise we saw this winter was a large number of jumbo perch. I was up, in January to the Northwest Angle and, you set the hook on a nice, what you think is a nice walleye, and you look down and you get, green fish with nice bars and orange fins coming up, and you dive down to that hole and make sure you get your hand underneath it, and just some jumbos, man, some 13s, 14s, and even some such in 15, and so just really, really nice fish coming in this year. We get some eel pout each year, some sturgeon, on the basin in the south end of the lake. We always get a few lake trout that, get a little bit lost in that cold water and come down and entertain us and get some. It's just kind of a cool fishery, but what a great year. And we're still fishing. I mean, we can have fish houses on Lake of the Woods. We're border water with Canada. So consequently, we're colder than anybody else. And a lot of times, we'll be 20 degrees colder than, central Minnesota, let's say. So, with that being said, we can have our fish houses out overnight through March 31st. And, there's a lot of resorts that are still on the ice, still fishing. Most of the folks are fishing, walleyes and saugers. Pike have just gone crazy lately. And, we all say, March is the time to catch pike. Boy, this year, it has been good lately. They're starting to stage for that spawn. So they're in the pre-spawn areas. I talked to one of our resort owners recently, and he said two guys were out for about a day and a half, and I think they had over 100 pike, which that isn't the norm, but wow, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that whole late ice pike deal, if you're at all into big fish through the ice, like what's better than, weather, sweatshirt weather, catching fish that can be 40-plus inches. I mean, well, a 30-inch is a big one. But like some of the biggest in the Midwest. When we were up there, when we went set up and we went through a resort and just had a ball doing it, every time we've gone up, it's not just one time, but it's like every time we go up there, you need a pair of binoculars to see the next group.
Yeah, isn't that true? We get some action on the pike and, but it's not like things are super, super busy. But, it's a never ending battle trying to educate people that we're still ice fishing in March up at Lake of the Woods.
Yeah.
I was just to the Sioux Falls Sportsman Show. And, when I pulled in this past Thursday to set up for it, it was 74 degrees. I mean, I think people are back home and, you turn the TV on, you turn the news on and, fish houses have to be off the lakes. You might wonder, DNR says you have to get them off early and, they don't always put the details in there about, with the exception of border water. I purposely post weather forecasts once in a while on our Lake of the Woods Tourism's Facebook page, just because it just shows that, when you're getting some 40s during the day and then freezing overnight, in some cases, teens and single digits, that really retains that ice nicely. And it's a never ending battle to educate people. In addition, pike's a unique, it's a niche, right? Not everybody is interested in catching monster pike. A lot of people like catching walleyes. A lot of people go after panfish, ice fishing. But, the pike anglers are a little bit of a rare breed. And I will say this, for people that do like pike, arguably we probably have, if not the top, one of the top pike fisheries in the United States. I mean, we got a slot limit, 30 to 40 inches. You got to put them back. You can keep 3 pike per day, 30 to 40 inches. You got to put back. You can keep 1 over 40. The DNR talks about, they do, netting of pike each year. They study them, they have for years. And we got a huge population of big pike in our system. And, they really don't get targeted. We get more pike being caught by walleye anglers accidentally than we do people targeting pike.
If you're into big pike, very few places that stack up quite like this time of year up on Lake of the Woods. But you're right, talking about nice weather and everybody switches their brain off into open water. I actually, getting in touch with you to do this podcast, I was just thinking, I'll call Joe. We'll figure out a time. We'll talk about the Rainy River, cause that's kind of the season next. We should be talking about these things. And you brought up something that I kind of want to switch gears into, you know, along those lines, you know, we got the update on the ice season. My brain has switched over to some open water river stuff. But when I started rambling some questions or just some ideas by you, you brought up something that I'm very, very guilty of, that when I think Rainy River walleyes or just Rainy River fishing, I get pretty narrowly focused into the walleyes and I get pretty narrowly focused into this whole spring season. But you started bringing up some things that I thought were really interesting. And so I kind of want to go back to that. That was like, you know, a couple minutes before we pressed record. I want to bring you back to that and have you educate me or start talking about what you were talking about with sort of the bigger picture of the Rainy River, sort of the year-round look at it, because that is some interesting stuff. And I don't think I've really talked about the Rainy River from a year-round perspective with anybody on this, man. So I'm just kind of rambling on here, but I want to throw that onto your plate and go back to before I even pressed record here.
Well, you know, if the Rainy River was all we had as a fishery up at in the Lake of the Woods area, and we didn't have even the lake, the Rainy River is a world-class fishery all by itself. And, you know, let's start out with spring. So why is spring special? Well, first off, the fact that we're border water with Canada, we have special regulations that allow us to fish walleyes through April 14th. The rest of the state of Minnesota is closed, you know, at the end of February. And so what happens is from March 1st through April 14th, from Four Mile Bay and the Rainy River, and for listeners that don't know, the Rainy River comes out of Rainy Lake, 60 miles to the east of Burdett, and it flows straight west 60 miles. It hits the town of Burdett, turns north and goes another 12 miles and feeds Lake of the Woods. At the mouth of the Rainy River, there's a bay called Four Mile Bay that you know, all the charter boats from the river and stuff go through, and then you go into the big lake. So from you know, Four Mile Bay and to the Rainy River from March 1 to April 14th, you can fish walleyes, but it's catch and release only. You know, the DNR allows that spring fishing season. It's ice cold water. The walleyes are in shallow, pretty much shallow water, and most people are jig fishing. Some are pulling cranks, so mortality is extremely low. So with that being said, what ends up happening is, you know, that the Rainy River starts melting from the east, and the melt line moves to the west. And we track it every single day this time of year. We're watching where there's a spot of a dark spot, where a spot opened up in the middle. And pretty soon that spots get bigger. And then somebody says, oh, geez, 3 miles downstream, such and such popped open. And pretty soon, I mean, it opens up fast when it goes. And we watch it because when that open water hits that first boat ramp, which, you know, for good-sized boats, the main boat ramp is Nelson Park in Birchdale, about 30 miles to the east of Burdett. But we watch it until it gets there, and we kind of go from there. So the spring fishing, why is it such an allure? You know what? It's tradition. A lot of people, it's the first time they're splashing their boats. There's not many other opportunities for walleye fishing in this area, certainly in the Midwest at this time of year. And you know what? It's an opportunity to catch these great big female walleyes that come out of Lake of the Woods and they head up the Rainy River to do their spawning activity. I mean, you know, if you hit it right, you could catch multiple personal best walleyes in a day. And that's why people do it. It's cool. It's tradition. It's, you know, it's just kind of a fun deal. Now, we can talk more in detail about spring fishing techniques, all this stuff in a little bit here, but, you know, taking spring and then rolling that into the Minnesota fishing opener this year, you know, the opener is always like mid-May in Minnesota. You know, this year, the Minnesota fishing opener is Saturday, May 10th. That's when the whole state opens up. And so Lake of the Woods shuts down, you know, you can April 14th, shut her down and you go all the way to May 10th and then it opens up. So there'll be walleyes left over from the spawn in the river, you know, in May. So there'll be some people fishing. Some will be on the lake fishing for the opener, and some people will be fishing the river still. You know, as time goes on, some of those walleyes, as the summer, we get into the summer, some of those walleyes will go into the lake. But there'll be a lot of walleyes that stay put in the river because they have everything they need. They got good cover. They got shallow water, deep water, and they got a lot of forage. So that there's always walleyes in the Rainy River. So as we head into the spring and May and then get into June, you know, there'll still be walleyes in that river. Now, as we get into the summer, and I'm just talking about walleyes right now, As we get into the summer, there's always pods of walleyes and saugers in the river. You know, if it's a real windy day, you know, there's 42 miles of navigable rainy river from Bedette all the way to Birchdale to where some of the rapids and rocks more frequently begin. But, you know, 42 miles of navigable river, lots of boat ramps along the way, and the river is beautiful. So if it's kind of windy out on the lake or you just want to change things up a little bit, heck, get on that river. If you find a school of walleyes, you can jig them. You can also be pulling spinners and you can also be pulling cranks, typically against the current. It's a river. So when you're fishing for walleyes, you're going to be catching your pike and your smallmouth bass, big smallmouth bass fishery. Nobody gives them any credit. Nobody fishes them. Everybody's walleye crazed, but or sturgeon crazed. But just really a lot of fish in the river. I mean, it's kind of cool. So take us through the summer. We get into August. Pretty soon things start cooling down. We get into September. And as we get into September, there is the fall run of walleyes that happens. The reason the walleyes run up from the lake into the river in the fall is because emerald shiners traditionally will run up the river. We don't really know why the shiners come up the river. Some people think it's food-based. Some people think they're re-sliming themselves and getting in big schools and getting ready for the winter. I mean, there's a lot of scenarios out there. Nobody knows why, but the bottom line is we do know traditionally those emerald shiners will run up that river. Normally that run will start in September. And then there's different waves that happen in September and in October. That's where people like getting out on that river in the fall and you can traditionally jig fish. And, you get up there and you can either, get to a good spot, a current seam, a break in the river, a hole, whatever, just fishing and, jig over the side of the boat with a frozen emerald shiner or, even that time of a year in the fall, all of our bait dealers and resorts are netting shiners. So there's actually live shiners available in the area. Jigging over the side of the boat. If you're not getting them jigging, if those fish are spread out or you're not finding them, you can pull cranks. Oftentimes a three-way swivel. With a dropper and a 2 or 3 ounce weight going to 6 feet of mono or fluorocarbon with a shallow diving crankbait. It allows you to, pull against the river nice and slow with a crankbait and cover water. You can be pulling on an edge in 5 feet of water and that stained water. You see a good looking hole in your graph. You drop her down into 15, 16, 18, 20 feet. Or you come up to a shelf at tops out at 10. I mean, that three-way rig allows you to pull that crankbait through a lot of different depths, cover water. That fall fishing will go into the deer hunting season. Now, most outdoors people are deer hunting just because that's a very sacred short season too. But man, some of the biggest walleyes of the year are caught by people that are walleye fishing on the Rainy River in the month of November. It's amazing. Yep, it's cold. And yep, there's other things you could be doing like deer hunting. But I'll tell you what, some of the people that fish November get rewarded. And then we get into ice fishing. We get into December and, December, January, February, and even a little bit into March. But, there's actually some nice ice fishing that happens on the Rainy River. From a Lake of the Woods tourism perspective, we don't promote it real hard. We talk about it. And the only reason we don't push it too hard because it's a river and there's current. And you got to know where to go. You got to know where not to go. We just don't want to get anybody in peril. So we always defer to our resorts and outfitters and say, hey, listen, if you're going to ice fish the river, there can be some good fishing. Boy, you got to know what you're doing. You got to know where to go. Work with an outfitter, work with a resort owner who knows what's going on. And there are a few of them that will put some houses out and that sort of thing. But there's some nice fish caught on the river in the ice fishing season. Now, that's walleyes. We talk about sturgeon.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing on the Rainy River, the progression. I mean, we can fish sturgeon, whether it's a catch and release season or a keep season, but we can fish sturgeon up through May 15th. And then what happens is the season shuts down and closes from May 15th all the way to June 30th. Then it opens up again July 1, and then it's open all the way throughout the whole year. Good part of the year is a keep season, and then part of it's a catch and release season. Now, if you want to keep a sturgeon, what you can do is, in addition to having a Minnesota fishing license, which you need, you can buy a sturgeon tag for $5. Now, that sturgeon tag allows you, during the sturgeon keep season, to harvest one sturgeon per calendar year. And that sturgeon has to be between 45 to 50 inches or you can have one that's over 75 inches. And sturgeon are actually very good eating. You know, they most people smoke them. They're a very rich meat, very, very good tasting. A lot of people come up in the summertime and try to get their eater sturgeon. There's also, you know, like I said, a keep season in the spring too. But, and then, you know, people fish sturgeon. I mean, you know, right when the ice goes out, those sturgeon are active. I mean, walleye anglers fishing the Rainy River in the spring will oftentimes hook into sturgeon. The sturgeon anglers that get out there and they're anchored up amongst some of the walleye anglers, they normally get rewarded. Those sturgeon can be up and down the river. There's different holes. Certainly out in front of the resorts at Wheeler Point is a popular spot, as is 4 Mile Bay. Very popular spot. Holds a lot of sturgeon. I know last year I was fishing in the 4 Mile Bay, and some buddies of mine were fishing, and I think they had on their live scope at one time, they had like 10 sturgeon on their live scope. Just amazing. And it's just a neat fishery. That sturgeon fishing will go into the fall. It'll go into the winter. There's some guides that will actually throw out pop-up fish houses on safe parts of the river, and they'll fish sturgeon through the ice. You know, Kevin at the Royal Dutchman is known as a sturgeon guy. You know, he oftentimes guides people for sturgeon, you know, right in front of his resort, which is east of Bedette. And, you know, it's just kind of a fun fish. Certainly, you know, it's a different deal. I mean, if you're fishing sturgeon through the ice, you know, you're drilling a hole that's like two or three holes big, and then you're using heavier tackle, and it's just a neat deal. Yeah, the DNR, Minnesota DNR, estimates that from like Morrison, Ontario, down through the Angle, down through Lake of the Woods, and on the Rainy River, there's about 100,000 sturgeon over 40 inches long, and that's a very conservative estimate. We have so many sturgeon in our system right now that, you know, they're actually stripping the eggs from the sturgeon on the Rainy River, and they're taking those sturgeon eggs and bringing them to hatcheries and making little sturgeon, and they're populating other bodies of water with Rainy River sturgeon. So it's a really neat deal.
Yeah, that sturgeon deal. You know, we've talked about it before, and will again in the future, because that sturgeon opportunity on the Rainy River, you know, especially in the spring when a few more of the guides kind of, you know, well, there's enough demand that, you know, the people are out there kind of doing it. It's, I don't know exactly how to encapsulate it in a few words, but it's clearly one of the most exotic and incredible like fishing opportunities in the Midwest. Just the tackle that you're using and just the caliber of fish, like the fight, the experience of it is like, that just like straight up changes people's lives. Like it's such an exotic. And then once somebody catches their first one, I feel like I would love to do a podcast where you really dig into like, you know, the biology that we think we know, or, you know, the science behind these sturgeon, like way more in depth and whatever. But I think it, you know, for more people to be interested in it, it usually just starts with that first time that they actually like come in contact with one. And then all of a sudden you go home and you buy all the literature, because it's such an impactful thing. You know, like people, you know, a 10-inch bluegill is a giant bluegill, but you catch your first 10-inch bluegill, it doesn't always necessarily, you don't always go home and then do a research project on bluegills, but you catch like a 60-inch sturgeon, and like it just like rules your thoughts for like the next, you know, 6 months of your life, I feel like.
You know, they it's hard to talk about it without experiencing it. I mean, the power they have. I mean, when you fight a sturgeon, your rod is targeted. A lot of times you'll purposely, if you're targeting them, you'll use heavier gear, you know, 50, 60, 100-pound test line, you know, just a big tackle. And, you know, imagine just cranking back on a fish. This isn't the ocean. This is fresh water. But you're fighting a fish that, I mean, you're giving it everything you've got, and your arms are burning, and you can't pull them off the bottom. I mean, you just can't. And there's times where these fish will fly out of the water and jump. And I mean, it just, it's crazy. And the thing is, they're plentiful. It's not like, man, I hope if I go sturgeon fishing for a couple of days, I hope I, you know, maybe catch one. You're probably going to catch multiple sturgeon, just a matter of what size. I mean, it's normally, a sturgeon cooperate pretty darn good. It's special, you know, and we talk about using heavier tackle too. You know, that's almost a conservation thing too. I mean, you know, if you can fight a sturgeon and get that sturgeon to the boat quicker, and, and get them back in that water quicker. They're better chance for survival, of course. And but they're a special fish, man. They're big, and you know they're prehistoric. I mean, the reason people call them, you know, let's go catch a dinosaur, is because they have roots going back to the prehistoric times. These sturgeon are cool looking. They got a hard cartilage in the front of their mouth, in front of their nose. They use that for digging in the mud and sand for finding food. They got a big sucker like a suction cup, a big mouth on the right on the very bottom of their body, positioned to eat off the bottom. And then they got these rows of scutes, they call them scutes, S-C-U-T-E-S. And they go along the sides of their body and across the top. If you catch a small sturgeon, you got to be careful you don't cut yourself on them. They're sharp. And then as a sturgeon becomes bigger, those scutes will dull out. But then the sheer size of a sturgeon, as well as their hard armor-plated body, you know, protects them. They got a big tail. It's hard. They're just a cool-looking fish. They're just really neat-looking fish. I don't know how to explain it. They're fun. You know, a lot of times if you get a decent-sized sturgeon, you know, many, many times – takes two people to hold it.
Yeah. Sturgeon are one of those things where, you know, they're exotic to the point where there's no, like, if you go targeting them, like, we're all hoping to catch a big one, and the internet kind of, you know, dictates our expectations on what, you know, a big one is, which is unfair. But most people, it's like, it doesn't, if you just catch one, they're all so cool. Like, any sturgeon is so cool, especially the first one you ever get. You don't even, like, you're not even judging the size. You get them in your hands, and you're looking at them in the net, and they're just so bizarre looking. Definitely wanted to highlight that. I'm glad you brought that up, and I definitely wanted to just point out the size and scope of that opportunity, because it's very, very cool.
Well, Taylor, you know, the other thing I'll say about the sturgeon before you finish up is it's really, really a success story on the Rainy River. I mean, you know, they used to commercial net sturgeon. And at one point in time, they used to commercial net them in the late 1800s and early 1900s. And, you know, at one point in time, arguably, Lake of the Woods put out more caviar, which is, you know, the roe or the eggs from a sturgeon. But at one point in time, Lake of the Woods put out more caviar than anywhere in the world. And what they were doing is they were, you know, commercial netting these fish. They'd slice them down the belly, get the caviar out, and stack them up by cordwood. Some of they would take that caviar from the south end of Lake of the Woods, and they would ship it northeast all the way to Kenora, Ontario, at the end of the lake. And the reason they would ship it to Kenora is because we didn't have the transportation infrastructure at that time to ship that caviar out to the east coast big cities where the demand was. But, you know, Kenora had the railroad lines established. So they would ship that roe at caviar via rail car lines out to, you know, D.C., Boston, Philly, and all those other big cities out there. And that's kind of how they did it. They would actually take the sturgeon, and they would the steamships would burn the sturgeon for fuel. And so it's just really kind of an interesting story. Now, it's at one point in time, you know, they stopped netting sturgeon. They stopped commercial netting of sturgeon and commercial netting altogether on Lake of the Woods. And the other thing that held sturgeon back is, you know, the Rainy River, we talked about the water coming out of Rainy Lake, and there's a paper mill there. And back in the day, you know, the restrictions for pollution and things that, you know, any kind of industry could let out wasn't so stringent. But once that Clean Water Act came about, and then the Clean Water Act got some teeth behind it, and all of a sudden that water in the Rainy River started cleaning up. But, you know, before that time, you know, as the story goes, you'd be fishing the Rainy River and you'd have to reel your line up every, you know, so often to clean it off because of the debris coming down. There's pictures out there from the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency where you can get out, people would get out of a boat and step on the shoreline, and they'd sink into about 3 feet of pulp, of paper pulp, or wood pulp, I should say. So the Rainy River was not a very good, you know, place to, you know, spawn. They believed the sturgeon back then that reproduced would reproduce in the tributaries of the Rainy River that didn't have that kind of pollution. So it's just really a success story now.
The Onyx Fish app is an excellent tool for finding your next fishing spot. Download the app today to get free lake information in the states of Minnesota and Wisconsin. I'm talking about research tools that we talk about on the JMO podcast all the time with all the top pros here in the Midwest. I'm talking about satellite imagery, fisheries data, lake surveys, contour maps. That and so much more can be found in one place here now with the Onyx Fish app, a phenomenal tool, both on and off the water, for discovering new great fishing opportunities, many of which you would have never known existed. Link is in the description of this podcast.
TKI CNC produces reliable, meticulously crafted marine components for every fishing adventure. If you're going to be doing any boat rigging whatsoever this season, check out a complete listing of products at TKICNC.com. There you'll find lots of things, including the multi-purpose rod holders and their forward sonar pole mounting kits. These product designs specifically maximize your efficiency and reliability in the boat. This is why so many hardcore anglers, including tournament anglers, are turning to TKI to accessorize their boats. For a detailed look or in-depth tutorials, check them out on YouTube, Facebook, or Instagram at TKICNC.
If you have any fishing memory or a fish that you would like to commemorate with a replica, or you have questions about getting fish replicas done, reach out to Jamie Rizavi from Rizavi Taxidermy Studio in New Rockford, North Dakota. Jamie and his crew do next level work here at the JMO headquarters. We are blessed to have so many replicas made by Jamie. Reach out. You can find him on social media or online at RizaviTaxidermyStudio.com. The link is in the description of this podcast. Zooloft Construction from Fargo, North Dakota is your trusted partner when it comes to protecting and enhancing your property, servicing the surrounding area with over 40 years of combined experience. They've built a reputation for delivering exceptional roofing, siding, gutter, and window solutions. With a team of skilled professionals using quality brands and products, that's how they ensure lasting results. To sum it up, Zooloft Construction is committed to exceeding customer expectations. If you want an appointment for a free estimate, check out Zooloft Construction at their website, zooloftconstruction.com, or call them at 701-630-0197. All those contacts are in the description of this podcast.
The first thing that would come to mind, you know, listening to some of that history is like, however many years compiled together where they were basically netting everyone they could get their hands on to ship eggs east. It's pretty amazing that they even got to the, you know, survived it at all, and yet we're sitting at time where, you know, I don't know how you would put it, but I mean, the way I see the industry, it's as good as it's ever been, like right now, for fishing opportunity.
This is a boom. This is a boon of sturgeon. I mean, it's never, sturgeon fishing in our neck of the woods has never been this good. This is better than it's ever been. And, you know, they allow that keep season. And some people get a little nervous about that. But, you know, the DNR tells that there's so many sturgeon that, you know, and people are not keeping as many sturgeon as they can. We don't have a ton of people that actually keep sturgeon. And the people that do, I mean, they account for it, trust me. In fact, some people think that they should make it so they can keep more than one a calendar year because there's so many in there. But nonetheless, you know, they're in there. And it's interesting, too, because, you know, when sturgeon, they live a long, long time. I mean, you know, they typically reach sexual maturity between 15 to 25 years old.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a long time. And the females typically spawn every 4 to 6 years, males spawn every, you know, 1 to 2 years. It's kind of a success story. And it is a boom right now. This is some of the best sturgeon fishing we've ever experienced. And it's right up on the Rainy River in Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like a generation or two ago, you know, they were bonking them on the head, you know, by the thousands. Yeah. And, it's really fascinating. Fascinating. But definitely people get up there and do it, you know, on purpose. Anybody I know that's ever gone up there on purpose, like it's just so cool just to put your hands on the first one you catch, whether it's a, you know, yeah, like one of the, maybe a smaller intermediate size one that's like 30 inches or something like that, you know, like that would be considered probably a pretty young one, or 40 inch or whatever when they start coming up in the river. But then, you catch a handful of them, you're going to have an opportunity at those 60, 70 inchers like that. And that is just, you don't even hardly believe that they're in there. Like, go out in your garage right now and get a tape measure out and, you know, spin that thing out to 75 inches. And then, you know, just lay that in your mind, you know, put your arms out and think about how you'd hold that fish with yourself. Cause like you said, when they get that big. That's why you see all those pictures of two people holding them fish. Like,
well, that's just the way it goes. I have a buddy of mine who, I like to say he's not the tallest guy in the world. And when he and his buddies are all fishing, the way they can tell if they got a good sturgeon is they have him lay down next to the sturgeon. If the sturgeon's longer than he is, then they know they got a pretty good one.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. And he can't, you know, a guy like you can't be upset or offended by that, because he probably gets invited a lot for that reason. He's probably been in a lot of pictures, probably a lot of cool, funny pictures laying in the bottom of a boat next to a big sturgeon.
You know, I'm not saying any names, but you know what? I will say too, you know, for people that are thinking, well, how do you catch a sturgeon? I mean, you know, it's not rocket science. Number one, you always have the opportunity to get a guide or go to a resort. The resort and have guides, and there's people that take you out sturgeon fishing to kind of teach you the ropes. That's one option. The other option is, in a nutshell, you're going to use a sturgeon rig with a no-roll sinker. A no-roll sinker is a flat sinker. You can buy them up at Lake of the Woods at all the bait shops. It's a flat sinker that's conducive to the current. Usually it's a 3 or 4 ouncer, but you'll put a no-roll sinker on. You'll put on a sturgeon rig. Sturgeon rig is typically an 18-inch leader material, made a 60-pound test. It's got about a 3 or 4-aught circle hook on it. And all you do is, that's your rig. And then you take that 3 to 4-aught circle hook and you load it with, you know, a few night crawlers, like into a ball. Or you put on a combo of night crawlers and frozen emerald shiners. You get out in a rainy river and you find a hole of the river. I mean, there's different techniques, but in a nutshell, you find a hole and you just try to go upstream from the hole just a little bit and just anchor up and pitch it out and let that scent travel through that hole where those sturgeon often live, and they'll swim up that hole and follow that scent up to your lure. And you know, when they use a circle hook, because you know it's a very conservation minded hook, you when a sturgeon eats that bait with that circle hook, you know, you don't set the hook real hard like you would maybe a bass or a pike or something. What you do is you reel it tight real fast and just pull it. What happens is that hook will come out of its, if it's down there deep at all, it'll come out and hook that fish in the lips, and then the fight is on. I encourage people, if you go sturgeon fishing, it's not that hard. Really, it's something you just go out and try. You'll see other boats doing it, and have a big net, or have a tail lasso, or have a way to get the sturgeon in the boat. Try to use bigger tackle if you can. Some people will buy catfish tackle. You can get fiberglass rods and reels that aren't that expensive. And, you know, otherwise, if you have muskie or pike gear already, you can use that. And, yeah, you know, have your needles ready to roll. Have your camera ready to roll, and have fun. It's very relaxing sitting on the rainy river, kicking back with friends and family, and just chewing the fat, and pretty soon, and you'll catch other fish. You'll catch big walleyes doing it. You'll catch suckers. There's a variety of suckers, different kind of suckers in the rainy river. You'll catch burbot or eel pout. I mean, you'll catch smallmouth bass. It's just, you never know what you're going to get. And of course, you'll get your sturgeon. You'll get sturgeon of all sizes.
Man, I love it. Like I said, we could go down that sturgeon rabbit hole for a very long time, because I think that is wildly cool. But the spring walleye deal, you know, we definitely got to touch on it. It's that time of year. There's so many anglers that are going to be thinking about it. Status update. It's been a long cold winter. You know, looking at the winter, do we have any sort of a prediction on you know, what that season's going to look like as far as, you know, when the ice might be getting out? Like what are you anticipating sort of for the early side of this rainy river run this year?
You know, I always defer to Mother Nature, and, you know, it's an easy out, but Mother Nature always determines. You know, everybody, you know, we had so much ice this year, you know, I'd probably be able to lay ice out and, you know, this, that, and everything else. You know what? Mother Nature determines. Every year we're surprised, and it happens fast when it happens. Traditionally, the third week of March is when the Rainy River pops open at Birchdale and in Nelson Park. The third week of March is traditionally when it happens. So give or take a little bit there. And again, you can fish walleyes through April 14th. So, you know, we normally have a good, you know, three weeks, sometimes more to fish them. What's going to happen this year? I don't know. You know, looking at the forecast, we got some warm temps in the forecast. Things are starting to happen already. We already have resorts and outfitters that are going out, east of Birchdale, and filming different parts of the river that are popping open. I know at Birchdale, the last video I saw, it was a bunch of water on top of the ice, and there was, you know, a couple of holes out there, and all that water was running down those holes. And Taylor, it's hard to say, but you know, one of the things we do is kind of fun. Is this is part of the tradition, is that we got different outfitters and resorts out, you know, taking, you know, checking the river conditions daily. People are watching our Facebook page. People are watching some of the more some of the resorts that are more known as Rainy River, Sturgeon, and Walleye Fishing Resorts. They're out there usually posting very, very frequently. So people know which pages to watch, and they're watching this, and they're ready. They got their boats ready to roll. They got their tackle ready to roll. You know, they know darn well they're probably just going to throw their ice fishing stuff in the boat or in the vehicle when they come up. And you know what happens, man? It happens. We'll get some early folks that, when there's a path of water through the middle of the river, you got some daredevils that'll take their 14-foot boats and push it out on the ice with life jackets on and drop it in off that ice. I wouldn't suggest it, but you know, people will do it. And unfortunately, they're usually rewarded. And then, you know, once that ice starts coming off that shoreline, you know, either Coochin County or Lake of the Woods County or the city of Bidette, depending on where the boat ramp is, you know, oftentimes they'll go in there with a backhoe and just give that shoreline push by the access a little shove out there to let it float down so that we can start getting boats in there safely. It's going to happen quick when it happens. It always does, and it's a fun time of the year.
Yeah, I think you definitely pointed out, like, on that emotional side, just the anticipation itself is part of the tradition. Just the, like, what we're living in right now of, mm-hmm. like, just monitoring Facebook feeds and just, like, you know, talking with everybody, the chatter.
Oh, the days are getting longer. The sun is strong. You know, where a lot of people live, there's no snow left. You know, some of the little ponds are starting to open up, or at least there's open water by the edges. I mean, things are happening. You know, you start to see the migration happening. You got different kind of songbirds in your yard. I mean, it's all part of the change of seasons. You know, everywhere you go, people really love where they live. And maybe in many cases, people wouldn't want to live anywhere else. But, you know, the same thing goes true up here. We have the change of seasons, and this is part of it. This is part of just, again, here, you know, the warm weather's coming. People are excited. You know, we're looking forward to this. You know, I just, man, if you like fishing and you like catching big walleyes, you know, this is where you lick your chops.
Yeah, I don't know. I think about this stuff all the time. And I think it's relevant because it helps us have perspective and then essentially just sort of capitalize and feel rewarded when we do get to go on like a destination fishing trip. Like for many people, the Rainy's a destination. But when you're done the last day of your fishing trip and then you drive home, you know, you have the memories and you think about it. But as far from a fishing standpoint, that anticipation is over. Like, it already happened. It's a memory now. And you got pictures and stuff to look at. But like, you know, the anticipation before it happens, everything that's leading up to it is all like, you know, those are good, fun emotions. That's like optimism.
It's part of the enjoyment.
What do you anticipate as far as the flow, you know, water levels? Like, what are some of the conditions we're looking at this year? Like, just sort of, you know, environmentally and, you know, just as far as the river goes, you know, comparatively to, you know, an average year, is it going to be pretty consistent, you think, from that standpoint? Is there going to be something, you know, about this year? You know, we've had some melt off, like you say, we don't have a ton of snow, the runoff, like, what do you think the conditions are going to be that way?
You know, I think that, you know, we haven't had as much snow this year as we normally do. So I don't think there'll be quite as much runoff. I think the river will probably be a little bit lower than normal. And that creates opportunities. You know, that creates opportunities. And just as high water does too. I mean, you know, so you just have to go with the flow and read the river and go fishing. And but I think it's going to be a little bit lower water than normal because of the, you know, the lack of snow. You know, other than that, I mean, I know there's some big fish in the river. I got some friends who are guides, and they know where to go and where not to go on the Rainy River. And, you know, a lot of them are catching big fish all year long. So there's already big fish in the river. And then, you know, if it hasn't happened already, you know, those big walleyes are starting to move up. You know, we might have colder weather, you know, from time to time at night and the set and everything else. But, you know, those fish, they're affected from runoff. They're affected by temperature. But they also are dialed in based on length of day. And length of day is something that's consistent. And that gets things moving. Just like our pike are staging to spawn right now. And the walleyes are starting to move that way too. And so yeah, it'll be fun to see what actually happens. And you know, once we get out there, I think that's going to, we'll have a little bit lower flow and a little bit lower water than normal.
You know, one thing that comes up a lot, which I kind of want to save this towards the end here where we're at, but you know, people that are experiencing that Rainy River walleye run for the first time, you get warned about sort of the popularity and just how congested, you know, them boat ramps can happen, especially early, you know, when it just starts cracking and everybody's kind of trying to cram into the same boat ramp. But, you know, we should incorporate that in a part of this conversation because I think that we'd be doing an injustice if we weren't. This is kind of just one of the notes I had written down. And so I kind of want to address that and have you talk about it a little bit and just give some good perspective on sort of how to handle it, bring some awareness to it, you know, sort of set people's expectations a little bit.
Well, yeah. And the reason the ramps can be congested, it's for a couple of reasons. You know, number one, when that open water line makes its way to the west on the Rainy River, you know, when it first hits that first boat ramp, there's only one boat ramp to take all the traffic. So that's, you know, that's one reason. And the second reason is you have a chance to catch multiple walleyes of a lifetime. You have a chance to catch your personal best, and it's worth waiting for. So, you know, when people come, you know, when things are going hot and heavy, you know, there can be a lot of boats and trailers, and it's just all part of the tradition. And you know, just know that when you come, you might be waiting in line for a while to drop your boat in. I encourage people that, you know, before you come up, if you can, you know, get your motor in some water somehow and start it. Make sure it runs. Make sure that you know, everything's ready to go on, you know, just on your boat. So you're not testing it the first time when you got a long line of people behind you and you're dropping into the Rainy River. So that's number one. Number two, just know that, you know, it's popular. So there can be a lot of boats and trailers and or trucks and trailers, I should say. And, you know, just have some patience. It's all part of it. Yeah, it might take a little bit longer to drop in. Everybody's excited to go fishing. You know, you're burning daylight, right? But, you know, some people will get out there early, you know, and you know, try to get a head start in the line. Otherwise, when you're there, just go with the flow. When you get up there, if somebody needs some help, don't be afraid to get out and, you know, help them undo their boat from the trailer. You know, if it's real cold out when you're fishing, I encourage people that when you drop that boat in the water, when you pull out, just pull up a little bit and let that water drain just for a second into the river, rather than pulling out real fast and having all that water go on that boat ramp where it can freeze and get a little icy. Some people will bring some sand with and you know, different things to throw on the boat ramp. It's always nice to maybe carry a little bit of that with you in case things get a little iced over. But other than that, just have patience. You know, some people will, because that, when you park your truck and trailer, you drop your buddy off and with the boat, and then whoever's driving the truck and trailer, you know, you might have to park along, you know, quite a long ways away. And what some people will do is people have actually taken a bike, a small bike, and they've put that in their truck so they can, you know, when they park their truck and trailer, they can take that bike and drive it back. Many times there'll be some people that are offering, you know, they'll offer you a ride from your truck and trailer to the boat ramp for a small donation, for a tip. And usually we have that going on. So that makes life easy. A lot of different ways to get it done. It's kind of fun. I remember jumping on the back, sitting on the back tailgate where, you know, some people were driving us back to the boat ramp where we parked our vehicle. And you jump on there with three or four other people in the back of the pickup truck. And you just kind of, you know, where are you guys from? Yeah, we're from so-and-so. Oh, really? Yeah, we come up every year. And, oh, this is my first year, you know, and it's just kind of that. It's all part of the tradition. Everybody's friendly. Everybody's pretty jovial. And, you know, everybody really is excited to get out there and try to whack some walleyes. You know, other than that, just have patience. Now, what happens is when that water line makes its way down to that second boat ramp, well, now you can divide the traffic by two. When it gets to the third boat ramp, you can divide that traffic by three. And, you know, pretty soon it's no big deal, you know. But, you know, when you first start out, it could be a little bit crowded. Just anticipate that. That's just all part of the tradition.
We should definitely talk about, you know, the Ontario side. You know, like, how does, you know, the Ontario side of the river sort of tie into the bigger picture?
You know, I'll mention Ontario. You know, the one thing I want to mention too, Taylor, before we get at this, the whole topic is, I want to mention safety. before I forget, if that's okay. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think, you know, we got to mention safety first. And, you know, when we talk about safety, we're talking about safety when you're driving your truck and your trailer and your boat to the boat ramp. You know, you're usually taking Highway 11, which goes parallel to the Rainy River. And, you know, you'll be turning into that boat ramp. You got to watch for oncoming traffic. You know, certainly, when you're dropping that boat in, you know, trying to make sure if it's icy that you're addressing that. Normally it's not a problem, but I talk about that too. And, you know, it's ice cold water, making sure that you wear your life preserver, making sure you take an extra caution, making sure that, you're aware, because there will be a lot of traffic in that area. A lot of times you'll be driving, you know, going 60 miles an hour and, you know, all of a sudden you come up and there's, you know, red stoplights, brake lights, because boats are waiting to turn in and you might have to stop kind of fast. So when you start getting to those areas where the boat ramps are, just have extra caution. So that's one thing. And as far as Ontario goes, for people that want to fish the Ontario side of Lake of the Woods, the Rainy River, yeah, you're welcome to. Now, here's what you need to remember. If you're going to fish the Ontario side of the Rainy River, number one, you need to have an Ontario fishing license. You know, number two, if you're not allowed to go touch land unless you check in with Canada Border Services Agency. And that would be down, you know, across the river from Baudette, Minnesota. There's a CBSA, you know, check-in station. But otherwise, you're allowed to boat into Ontario waters as long as you don't touch land without checking in. Have an Ontario fishing license. You're not allowed to bring any kind of bait into Canada waters from the U.S. That means live, dead, frozen, petrified, whatever. No bait goes from, you know, Minnesota into Canada anymore. You can't do that. As far as keeping fish, you are not allowed. That the Minnesota side of the river for walleyes is considered to be closed. It's a catch and release season only. Consequently, you are not allowed to go into Ontario and catch walleyes in Ontario and bring them back over the border. If you really wanted to keep walleyes, what you'd have to do is you'd have to trailer your boat over into Ontario, go through customs. You'd have to drop your boat in the boat ramp on Ontario side. You'd fish the Ontario side of the Rainy River. You'd pull your boat back out on your trailer on the Ontario side. Then you'd come back through U.S. customs on the way home. So that's how you'd have to do it. There's no alcohol allowed in that, you know, Ontario waters. So if you have any beer or anything else on board, just know that, you know, you got to leave that behind. So it's different. Now, do some people fish Ontario waters? They do. You know, some people believe that sunshine, the way the angle of the sun is, it'll hit that Canadian shoreline a little bit more than the U.S. shoreline, maybe warming that water up a degree or 2 degrees more. Well, that can make one heck of a difference in the spring. You might not have as much traffic on the Ontario side. That's an advantage for some. So that Ontario side can be really good for walleyes, but you just have to know that no bait, no alcohol, have an Ontario fishing license. And, you know, most people aren't looking to keep any walleyes anyway, even fish in Ontario. You can't use any bait, right? Any live bait. So no problem, because a lot of people don't anyway. They'll use jigs with big plastics. They might pull crankbaits, troll crankbaits against the current. Maybe they use a three-way rig with a crankbait, but that's normally not an issue. The other thing too is I should mention that, with our political climate this year, and just some of the different discussions with tariffs between the United States and Canada, you know, it's my understanding one of the things our president mentioned is, you know, border security. And, you know, we always think about the border of Mexico, but, you know, he also means the border of Canada, and the Canadians have taken that seriously. So at least for the time being, they've upped their presence of in case of Ontario, the Ontario Provincial Police, OPP. So you might see a helicopter flying over the river once in a while, or maybe a drone, or maybe a police boat. But you know what they're looking for? They're looking for bad people crossing from the United States into Canada, or vice versa. They're looking for weapons coming into Canada or back through the States, and they're looking for drug trafficking. They don't really have an interest in anglers fishing on the Rainy River. But you know, you have to understand they do look at everything, because you know there have been instances where people trying to do something legal will disguise themselves naturally as an angler fishing the Rainy River. and that's how they blend in. So they're out there, but no harm, no foul. And we've spoken to them, and they just said, yeah, there'll be a larger presence, but it won't affect fishing at all.
Right on. Yeah, because I mean that's one other thing that I've learned from you is just how that's a working relationship that's working. And, I think that's sort of important to point out that's a big part of the landscape of the opportunities out there. It's like, we need to be able to work together with those, or just a flow of information, if nothing else,
Taylor, I'll tell you this much, so we have spring meetings every spring, and we get together, Couchiching County, Lake of the Woods County, DNR Fisheries, DNR Enforcement, Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources, Ontario Provincial Police, both the Cooch County and Lake of the Woods County Sheriff's Departments. We get both tourism organizations, both Rainy Lake and, Lake of the Woods Tourism, and the Highway Department and the county workers that do signage and maintenance. And just everybody pulls together to pull off this spring season and make it safe. And that's the thing. It's about safety. It's about making sure people are doing the right thing. And we can pull this tradition off successfully and safely. And everybody's got a part in it. We all work together. And, I'm very appreciative from a tourism perspective. This is the spring is a time where we don't have much going on up north. We got a little bit of ice fishing that's tailing off on that lake. And of course, the river, it brings a nice shot in the arm for our the city of Bidette and certainly our resort community, along the Rainy River. So it's we're appreciative of it. And it's tradition and it's wonderful. And, you always read things. As I get older, I can be a little more sentimental, but you always read things about people that are getting later in life. And they oftentimes talk about it's not the things that make the big difference in their life, but rather it's the memories, it's the experiences. In this Rainy River fishing, you might have to wait in line a little bit longer. You might be out there and you might be out there and it starts snowing out. How cool. It used to be, oh man, it's going to snow. No, now it's like, oh, how freaking cool. Now you get a walleye and you got snowflakes in the background. What a cool picture. Remember that time we're up there and it was snowing out? Hey, remember that time we're up there with 70 degrees? I mean, every year can be different, but that's part of the fun. I fish a little fun little catch and release tournament up there, and it's open to the public. Anybody can fish. It's called SJR 500. And, this year it's on April 8th and 9th. Brett Amundson does that tournament, and 25% of the proceeds are donated to our Keep It Clean program up at Lake of the Woods. And they do it at a Riverbend Resort. Of course, you can stay anywhere, but just a neat little fun tournament for walleyes and sturgeon. I guess the reason I'm mentioning that, and not only just to create some awareness for it, but, it forces you to go fishing. So all of a sudden, I know I'm going to be out in that Rainy River on the 8th and 9th. And some days it's 70 degrees. Some days it's snowing out. Some days it could be raining out and windy. You just never know, but it forces you to be in the water. And I've noticed that it forces, normally if it's snowing out heavy, it wouldn't be my first choice of going out on the water fishing in the Rainy River. But you know what? Because I'm fishing that little tournament, I have to be out there. And I find out those have been some of the most memorable times we've had, catching walleyes with the big snowflakes. You get your ice fishing gear on anyway once you get out there. It's fun. And, it's just kind of a cool deal. I mentioned that little fishing tournament. I should mention, too, that, Zippel Bay Resort has a ice out pike tournament in Zippel Bay. So people can fish that pike tournament coming up in the spring. And I know Sportsman's Lodge has a traditional sturgeon tournament out of Sportsman's Lodge on the river, all sturgeon fishing. And it's really kind of a neat deal. When you catch a sturgeon, you notify one of the boats out there, some of the judges, and they come over and they'll measure the fish. And they catch a lot of big sturgeon. And it's funny because they do it within a proximity of that Wheeler's Point area, from the mouth of the river up just a few resorts, and that's their area you have to fish. And they pound the sturgeon out of there. They do I think it's called an international sturgeon tournament. They actually do out of Birchdale late in the summer. They got a kids division. And so it's really popular. And how fun, huh?
Yeah, for sure. I'm glad you plugged those. That tournament, that catch and release tournament that Brett does, that's not just walleyes, is it?
No, it's walleyes and sturgeon. So you can you can fish for both, or you can pick out, and it's like, I think it's $40 per person for the 2-day tournament. It's fish donkey. So you register your fish as an individual. We got some guys that'll put, you know, four people in a boat and go out fishing. You know, we got others that it just makes life so easy. And what Fish Donkey is that it's that app that you just get on your phone. It's free. And then when you catch either a walleye or a sturgeon, you take a picture of it on a ruler or on a tape measure. And then you take a hero shot measuring it. And then you type in the length and hit submit, and all that goes into the judges, and you can let that fish go. It's just kind of a neat way to do it. But, you know, we have a lot of fun. It's getting together. It's not an overly serious tournament, but it's getting people out with the tradition of spring fishing, and you have like-minded people coming together that new relationships, old relationships, celebration of the spring fishing. It's just kind of a cool deal. It's for a lot of people, it's the first time they've been on open water fishing for the year, and it's kind of the kickoff of the season.
Yeah, that's a cool, that definitely seems like a cool deal. We've never been over there during that tournament, but from afar, I've heard
it's,
about
it's,
it.
It's fun, it's chill, you know, and it's like this. It's like you said, hey, if we're going to be up there anyway, maybe we should just go up that time period and fish that little tournament. How fun, you know, and
yeah.
if we get some fish that might be in the running, we can, you know, go to the weigh-in, or if we have the time, we'll go to the weigh-in, and if not, you know, no big deal, but it's just pretty casual. But again, it's getting people out fishing, it's getting people together, and hey, what the heck, 25% of the proceeds go to Keep It Clean. That's not a bad thing either.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you were doing a meat raffle, you know, for the same type of donation, it's like, I'd rather do it, like, I'd rather give $40 a head, you know, to go do some fishing.
Yep.
Shout out meat raffles too. They're cool, but you know what I mean? If I had my choice, I'd rather throw my, I'd throw my money in the hat either way, but it's way cooler when it's like fishing oriented.
Well, especially at the Rainier River in April. You know, we can do meat raffles
No kidding. No kidding. It's like, I was trying to catch a 30 incher anyway. So it's like, yeah. It's like, I'm going to bet $40 on myself and I'm going to today. And if not, well, I was $40 out, but you know, money goes to a good place. So.
You know, being from the Midwest and certainly from Minnesota, you know, tell you what, good meat raffles, nothing wrong with that either.
Right. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. That's probably a bad example, but you know what I mean? It's like, it's all good. Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome, man. Well, I love it. This is that time of year, man, where we gotta be talking about these fishing opportunities. And I really appreciate, kind of talking about the whole Rainy River as a whole, and it's a big statement to make, but I think it's true, and it probably gets undersold a little bit when you say, you know, if all the other fishing in the area disappeared and wasn't there, like the fishing year round on the Rainy River would be pretty unbelievable, just standalone as it is, and going through that whole season is definitely not what I always think. When I think of Rainy River, I get so narrowly focused on the walleyes historically, and I think about that, you know, being there the first week of April, and you know, like we're talking, but you know, that bigger picture I think is really, really cool. And then the sturgeon piece, and we've touched on it here. Like I said, I don't want to say I've never talked about it, but I like the deep dives on the sturgeon opportunity there, because the size and scope of that opportunity and is really, it's the heyday right now. And they're infinitely cool.
You know, the other thing that's kind of neat too, Taylor, is that, you know, it helps, man. We also have the infrastructure with resorts, you know, and certainly I'm tourism, right? But that's why I am, is because we have a nice established tourism community up there. And, you know, whether you're staying at the Royal Dutchman that's east of Bedette, or you're staying in Bedette or up the Rainy River to all the different resorts, you know, you got cool resorts and you got some very, very good deals. You know, this isn't the cosmopolitan area where it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. There's some very good deals that time of year, and you can stay up there very, very reasonably. And I think the other thing that's kind of cool too is if you want to stay at a place that has a bar and restaurant, you know what, that's great too. You know, we got resorts like that. You got everything you need. And that's part of the fun too. I mean, people like fishing, but they also enjoy coming out and having a beer, their favorite cocktail or a Coke or whatever their fancy is, and having a good meal, and it's all available. It's all fun.
Definitely, if it's your first time, you know, don't be too prideful to at least look into what the prices are, availability of a guide service, even if it's just for a couple of days of a 5-day trip, like, you know, just to get some good pointers, you know, or just have that.
Even just one day, just to go out and pick that guide's brain, see how they do it, see where they fish. And you know, I got a buddy of mine. So imagine if the walleye season goes through April 14th, from April 15th through May 15th, you can't walleye fish. Now it's all sturgeon fishing on the river. So I got buddies of mine that they'll come up with their family and some friends, a group, and they'll come a couple of days before the Minnesota fishing opener, and they'll fish sturgeon for a couple of days before the opener. And then on that Saturday, the opener, they'll switch over to walleyes.
Yeah.
What a cool trip. Because you don't have nearly the traffic. I mean, you know, when the walleye anglers are gone after April 14th, then now it's just sturgeon anglers. So
yeah, and May 10th, you know, that you know, relatively, I was just looking at the calendar. I mean, that's a relatively early opener for Minnesota. Jeepers, that kind of squashes down that vacancy between April 14th and May 10th. I mean, that's going to breeze on by. I can easily see how there's going to be a strong argument for that fish in the river on the
open. Oh, there every year there is, because there's still a lot of fish left over in the river, and you know, they'll be fishing 4 mile bay, they'll be fish along the whole south shore, you know, but there's certainly fish left over in that river. I think the kicker is though, just you know, so if everybody, if you want to catch your walleyes, some people are making that tradition. So, hey, let's go a couple days early before anybody gets there. Nobody's up there. And we'll fish sturgeon for a couple of days. And then we'll switch over to walleyes on the traditional opener. What a fun trip.
And you're talking big fish. You're talking big sturgeon and you're talking big walleyes. What I try to do with a lot of my shows is just highlight these opportunities and how cool they can be. Just try to inspire, motivate, you know, in any way, shape, or form. That being said, what are some of the resources that we can throw out there? If people want to look into, you know, whatever it is, lodging, or how can people find you or find the opportunities that are up there?
Yeah, well, you know, I would say, you know, as far as kind of keeping in touch with what's going on with ice out on the Rainy River, you know, Lake of the Woods Tourism's Facebook page is a really good source, and as is our, many of our resort Facebook pages and social media pages. Whether it's, you know, Facebook, Instagram, whatever, but you know, that's a great source for real time information. You know, Lake of the Woods Tourism has a newsletter that we send out weekly with a fishing report and articles about, you know, different things such as spring fishing and such. And, you know, you can always go to our website and subscribe to that. That's a nice resource. And in our website, we put out a weekly fishing report. We have videos and articles about how to sturgeon fish, how to spring fish for walleyes, where the boat ramps are in the Rainy River, a whole list of our lodging. All across Lake of the Woods. We have everything you need on our website. And that website is Lake of the Woods, MN for Minnesota, lakeofthewoodsmn.com. And there you're going to find really everything you need. And I would just say, if you're interested in that spring fishing, especially the walleyes, you know, have your boat ready to roll, man. Make sure your boat's ready so that when it happens, it happens quick. I know some guys will talk about, oh, man, I've already talked to my boss. And he's like, okay, man, no problem. I'm going to give you flexibility. So when it happens, we're going to let you roll, but get your work done ahead of time. I mean, people are planning this already, and rods and reels are ready to go. Their jig boxes are ready to go, and it's part of it. Same thing with the sturgeon. You know what? You know, if you don't have the sturgeon gear, decide, hey, should we go up and just get a guide and talk to one of the resorts or one of the local guides this year just to kind of get the lay of the land? Or should we do both? Should we get a guide and then we'll go it on our own? Or, hey, some people just like going up and doing it yourself. And that's great, too. You got the right tackle. You know, if you don't, there's a lot of resources online. It talks about what kind of tackle. Otherwise, you can probably go to your favorite, tackle retailer, and they're going to help you out with good sturgeon gear. But, you know, Taylor, I'm available too. I'm Joe Henry, and I'm with Lake of the Woods Tourism. You can always get a hold of me at Lake of the Woods Tourism. And if you have any specific questions, we're always happy to help out any way we can.
Yeah, and YouTube, man, it's like, I'm so addicted to YouTube nowadays, but I love the variety of content that comes off the river, the Rainy River, every spring. It's just such a popular place, you know.